Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are in the world. Hello and welcome to the Saturday, the 4th of August edition of EV News Daily. It's Martin Lee here with the news you need to know about electric cars and the move towards sustainable transport, occasionally on a Saturday. I like to pause the news for a day and bring you an interview or a behind-the-scenes look at the world around electric transport. And today, we're heading to cleancar.io to talk to Alex Baker. Now, Alex's technology and the data insights that he can bring not only to fleets but individual customers as well can analyse your journeys and tell you and advise you and fleet managers which is the best EV to buy, the one that suits you best. So let's find out how he does it and join Alex Baker from Clean Car.
Thank you.
Clean Car then, tell us, before we get on to what you do at Clean Car, you have been working in the EV space for a very long time now. Let's start with the doozy of all questions. Let's not build up to it. Let's begin with it. In your opinion, why isn't everybody driving an electric car already?
Firstly, the number one problem in the way of electric vehicles at the moment is what I say is apathy or indifference. You know, people, there's just not enough interest. You know, there's been a number of surveys have been done. It's growing all the time. There's been a number of surveys that have been done, certainly up to about 18 months ago. It said 67% of the population were not even interested in an electric vehicle. So you've got to kind of overcome the apathy and indifference. But I think the next problem is the misinformation. You know, there's a lot of information out there about range that's just wrong. You know, there's a, you know, that kind of pub talk, vehicles that, you know, a lot of people still think that, you know, electric vehicles have got a range of 60 miles. There's an understanding that electric vehicles can be very expensive. That's one of the things that we do, is try and cut through that kind of, you know, focus on whole life costs instead of purchase price. But I think equally, you know, I turn up to a lot of industry events, and you get these, you know, experts, and okay, they're coming from a certain angle, many of them, who would say, you know, the industry is not going to take off until every vehicle does 300 miles and until there's super fast chargers on every street corner. You know, frankly, I don't think that's correct. You know, I'm on my second Nissan Leaf, 24 kilowatt Nissan Leaf. I didn't get a 30 kilowatt. I got the 24 kilowatt hour one because that's all I needed. It's kind of horses for courses, I suppose. It's probably a bit like my wife shopping at shopping. You know, she'll go to Aldi instead of potentially going to Tesco. I think it's range is important in that conversation. I think Aldi's maybe got a smaller range than it has at Tesco, but it's got just the right amount of range for what we require. And then very occasionally we'll go to, you know, Tesco or Sainsbury's or Morrison's, one of those, you know, and get that special ingredients we need for a special event. And I think, you know, this is a thing that, you know, at the moment, there's just, we used to having vehicles that do 600 mile range, when actually most of us just simply don't need that at all. And it's trying to get that kind of argument across, but, you know, you don't need to wait for a vehicle to do 300 miles. You can, for many people, you'll get by perfectly on what's available today.
Well, that is the kind of doozy question that we always build up to. So we've kind of had our dessert, but now let's go back and set the table and begin with exactly what you do. Now, obviously, I know what you do because we've been chatting over email and online and all those kind of things. And we're always interested in the various bits of the electric car, the move to EVs. And so tell us, everybody listening around the world right now, tell us what you do at Clean Car and the kind of technology-led solution that you've got to helping people understand about whether they should be driving an EV right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, a lot of organisations who aren't considering electric vehicles today, or if they are considering electric vehicles, there's that uncertainty. You know, they don't know, will it work? How many drivers are going to, you know, how many drivers would be suitable for an electric vehicle? You know, will they save any money? What kind of electric vehicles would be best? So there's that trepidation at the moment. What we do is we try and cut through all of that. We've got a very simple solution where we take a very small GPS device. It sits in the cigarette lighter of a vehicle, and we send it out to, at the moment, mainly fleets, but we'll send it out to fleets of drivers who, they just plug it into their cigarette lighter and they drive about as normally. What we then do is we kind of harvest that GPS data, and we're able to build up a profile of how that person uses their vehicle. We can then compare that profile against the electric vehicles that are out there and say, number one, is that person suited to an electric vehicle? We can then also say, of the electric vehicles that they are suited to, which of those electric vehicles would be best for their requirements, or which might be the, say, top three vehicles that would be best for their requirements. And then the final piece, and I touched on it before, you know, there's a perception that electric vehicles are expensive. And yes, purchase prices can be a bit higher than an equivalent, you know, petrol or diesel. But when you run an internal combustion engine against an electric vehicle side by side, you do tend to benefit from what we call in the industry whole life cost, you know, or total cost of ownership. So there's a reduced cost, you're not paying for as much fuel, you know, reduced tax, etc. So we're able to say, well, look, if you were to do those same journeys in your current vehicle or a new equivalent or an electric vehicle, you will save money. So we try and take the focus away from it not working. We try and take the focus away from range and from the increased costs. And we give somebody a factual view in a very simple dashboard where they're able to see, yes, it'll work. And yes, I'm going to save some money.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, actually. My wife's next car, all I know about it is it will be white, because she is emotionally, and that's fine, by the way, because she's emotionally driven to make decisions about things like cars based not on, in her mind, total cost of ownership, or actually with EVs, even range. She wants to know, make sure she can do all the miles that she wants to do, but she wants it to look pretty, and she likes the BMW i3, and whether it's the Rex or not, she doesn't care. She doesn't mind. She wants a white one, right? And and so that is an emotionally driven decision. But you are going to the lengths of making, you know, actually having something physical, these dongles, dongle isn't the word for it, but something that goes in the cigarette lighter of the cars for fleets and all those kind of things. So why are you having to go to... Why not just go and do a presentation to fleet managers, show them the facts, they make a decision, they buy EVs. So why are you having to collect all of this big data?
We tend to be following in people that have already done that. Most of the organisations we talk to, we're pushing on an open door. You know, we tend to walk into a company and they'll say, look, Alex, we love the idea of electric vehicles. We really want to make this work. But the problem is, you know, of our 300 drivers, we don't know how many electric vehicles we should have. We don't know which drivers should have them. You know, we don't know if a Nissan Leaf is going to work in our situation. That's the one we're really interested in. We don't know how many charge points we need. We don't know where to put them. And we don't know if we're going to save any money. Well, we can answer all of those questions very simply. And all that we've got to do is send a device. We also have a smartphone app as well that does a very similar thing. But we can send out a device to those drivers. We just say, look, plug it in your car and leave the rest to us. And it's a very, very simple message. What we're then able to do is kind of, we bring all that data back, we present it to a fleet manager, and the fleet manager is then able to commit to that, you know, CapEx or commit to the leasing costs, etc., because we've de-risked that decision. You know, they're able to go forward with their eyes open to say, yeah, it makes sense. You know, out of our fleet of 300, we need 32 Nissan Leaf, and we know it's going to work, and we know that we're going to save, you know, X hundred of thousands over the next 3 years from the savings in fuel and tax.
Something that crosses my mind, you see these Amazon delivery drivers, for want of a you know, there are many more different delivery drivers, but just for example, and they've got their route perfectly planned out, which is great for EVs because it's good to know where you're going that day. So their route is planned out to the millimeter. They know exactly what drop, even what has to happen by when. And we know that driving EVs is cheaper, and you can charge off peak overnight and all the kind of fleet stuff they can do. These kind of vans aren't really in use 24/7 like, say, a big Tesco's lorry would be. They might be swapping drivers and it might never come off the road. So with those kind of vans, it seems obvious to me, well, they should all be using electric vans. So clearly that's not the reality then, because you're having to go in and say, now look, here's the data and here's the numbers, and it kind of makes sense to my brain, but are they more risk averse?
I think it's just there's a complexity. You know, one of the things we also do is we do something called bring your own data. So if we do come across fleets that have got their own data, you know, we're happy to run that through our own analysis. You know, what we're doing actually, to give a very simple message, is quite complex. You know, you've got to work out, you know, the kind of journeys that people do, even total mileage they do in a day. You know, you've got to compare that to the vehicles. You've then got to do the whole life cost analysis. You know, so there's a lot of data required, and actually for, you know, a lot of fleets, and certainly for consumers, it's a very, very difficult task. And, you know, certainly as far as consumers are concerned, it's almost completely beyond the capability, because much of the data is far too expensive for them to access. You know, so you know, yes, I am certain that within those kind of fleets, there is absolutely, you know, a pent up opportunity for them to convert to EV. But we kind of come along and try and make that very easy for them, because we've already built that whole analysis where we can, you know, either take their data or run the analysis, you know, using our own equipment.
As a bit of a data nerd myself, ooh, love a spreadsheet. And also people with, you know, that have bought things like Leaf Spy for themselves, because they just want to know all the details of their Nissan Leaf. And even earlier this year, it wasn't so long ago that the Tesla fleet of cars accumulated 1.2 billion, with a B, miles on autopilot. And actually, of course, the Teslas are recording data even when autopilot isn't, they call it shadow mode, even when it's not enabled. But there's billions of data points being collected by just Tesla alone. Do you ever come to these kind of big companies and these fleet managers and they go, actually, this would be really useful, can we keep your device in so that we know all this information about our fleet? Or have they got that already?
Yes and no. It depends what they're trying to achieve. You know, certainly some of the fleets that we're talking to, they do like to continue to keep the devices in, because it does give them a snapshot of what's going on. You know, the GDPR's made it a little bit more difficult, because clearly what you've got to do now is you've got to tell a user why you're you know, what data you're collecting, why you're using it, and you've also got to explain the period that you're going to keep it for. But yeah, absolutely, we do have fleets that are happy with that. They're happy to have that conversation with their drivers, and they want to keep a note of how the vehicles are being used. Mainly it's about trying to optimize how the vehicles are being used. You know, it's quite interesting when you see your journey on a map, you know, you realize just what a kind of sort of curve you've taken to get from point A to point B. You know, as soon as you can kind of see that on a map, you often find some much shorter routes and much quicker routes, you know, because a lot of people use sat nav these days, and sat nav likes to get you on the biggest road as quick as it can, not necessarily through the kind of the back routes that might be more efficient for an EV.
That's interesting. So let's move on a step then. Your device has gone into various fleet cars, and then the fleet manager has seen the data and seen they can save some money. Are you relatively agnostic in terms of BEV and PHEV or even alternatives?
So we do analysis on both. I am relatively agnostic. My focus is more on, you know, BEV, pure electrics, you know, because I do think that in my personal view, that's where the future is. I do feel that plug-in hybrids are maybe a short-term thing. You know, I think once we start to get up to the, you know, 60, 70, 80 kilowatt hour batteries in, you know, everyday vehicles, you know, hybrids in some respects, you know, become a bit of a nonsense. What we do find quite regularly is we'll have fleets that we talk to who are, in some respects, they've put a policy in place that encourages the use of plug-in hybrids, but they're then finding drivers are taking those plug-in hybrids who aren't suited to them. So, you know, I suppose what I'll say is a plug-in hybrid will work for everybody. You know, you've got the range, you've got no restrictions. But if you're not doing the right kind of driving, it can be a very expensive vehicle to drive compared to a petrol equivalent. You know, and there are fleets we've come across where the drivers have taken these vehicles purely for company car tax reasons. They've never charged a vehicle up once in the time they've had it, and they spend huge amounts of time going up and down the motorway, you know, and ultimately you're dragging around, you know, half a ton of equipment that's never being used. Problem with that is that, you know, you're not going to get 158 mpg as is advertised. You might get, you know, low 30 mpg, whereas actually an equivalent diesel or petrol might be giving you 40, 50 mpg, therefore a more efficient vehicle, more fuel friendly, and better for the environment as well.
Okay, well, this podcast listened to by people around the world, so but we'll focus on a couple of UK questions, and I'm sure people listening right now will apply the same to their own country, because the next question about regulation and about incentives and government intervention, it applies no matter where you're listening around the world. But here in the UK, it is, over the next couple of years, going to be less attractive for company car buyers to have them in terms of tax purposes, and then all of a sudden, from 2020 onwards, it gets really attractive. From your perspective as an expert, because I know nothing about things like benefit in kind, why and what's going on?
Well, the fleet industries at the moment in the UK is kind of up in arms about this, because there's a number of things that are happening at the same time. You've got the WLTP, which is the, you know, the changes around real world emissions. You've got the company car tax that, you know, kind of drops off a cliff in 2020. You know, really, we're waiting for the government to make a decision. It's as simple as that. You know, the government has set a policy on the company car taxation, and they set that some time ago. You know, they put that line in the sand, and we're waiting for them to update it. The problem is, at the moment, it's a difficult time for fleets, because there's, you know, there is uncertainty about, you know, what kind of vehicles they should be taking. I suppose in some respects the vehicles with the least amount of uncertainty, or the most amount of certainty, are electric vehicles. You know, if you can get somebody into an electric vehicle and it's going to work today, then it will always work, you know, unless there's some major changes in how they use that vehicle. But, you know, that's probably why we're getting involved in a lot more of these projects at the moment with fleets.
Occasionally on Twitter, people will fall out with me because I say that we should be using hydrogen for things like buses and trucks and boats and not at personal car level, and not everyone agrees with me on that. What's your take on fuel cells?
I think when it comes to, you know, the general consumer and your kind of fleet car, battery electric vehicles are the way forward. If you think of what the local council will do today with their bus fleet, you know, those buses will all return to a depot, and on that depot they will have, you know, various tanks full of diesel, and those vehicles will get filled up ready for the next route. And I think if the technology is there, there's no reason why the same couldn't be done with hydrogen. I do know there's some very interesting, exciting stuff coming through the pipeline, and I think it would be daft not to consider those options.
On the podcast today, we've been talking to Alex Baker from cleancar.io. Alex, what's the next sort of short to midterm for you? Where do you focus your business on? What are they going to be the things that you move on to?
We've just recently joined a consortium for something called V2Go, which is Vehicle to Grid Oxford, along with the likes of EDF and Oxford Uni and Oxford County Council, etc. And that's looking at vehicle to grid opportunities. So we will be looking mainly at businesses, looking at vans, particularly looking at distribution vehicles, Royal Mail, those kind of organisations. We're looking to try and get 100 real-world vehicle-to-grid demonstrators on the road. And, you know, going through the same process we just explained with Clean Car, where we'll try and find which vehicles will be suitable. Vehicle-to-grid is an incredibly exciting proposition. Very quickly, if we just take, you know, something like the Royal Mail, where those vehicles are out fairly early in the morning, they come back, you know, let's say 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the evening, you know, there's some residual charge left in those batteries. You know, those batteries can be plugged into the grid, and the grid can then take energy from those batteries during peak times to provide, you know, the country with energy. You know, when you look at those kind of projects where electric vehicles, rather than just being a drain on the grid, but actually being able to be batteries and provide energy back to the grid, that becomes very interesting, because, you know, what that potentially means is that actually, you know, we build our entire grid infrastructure at the moment based on peak demand. Well, if those vehicles can cover that peak demand, it may well mean we never need to build another power station anywhere in the UK. You know, the electric vehicles could, you know, manage that that peak demand. So that's a very, very interesting space for me.
You mentioned Oxford, by the way. A quick plug for a previous podcast. A few weeks ago, we talked to Keith Johnson from Urban Electric, these pop-up chargers on the sides of the street, also part of the same investment, a similar investment that's happening in Oxford. A very forward-thinking city, and we're looking forward to what they're doing, and obviously the partnership with you guys as well that you are now involved in. So if people want to hear more and read more about Clean Car and see what you're doing and the technology that you've got, how can people find out more?
Clean Car System, you'll find us on Twitter. We've got a brand new website about to be launched at cleancar.io. That's .io. We are launching the consumer-based version of Clean Car in September. So at the moment, the focus has been mainly on fleets, but the consumer-based version will be coming out in September. So that will be aimed, you know, through partners of ours, you know, energy companies and manufacturers, etc., to, you know, the man on the street.
It's fascinating to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time. If we can stay in touch, maybe we'll catch up somewhere down the line and our listeners can find out, you know, what, how you got on with the kind of consumer-facing part of your business, if that's okay.
Wonderful. That'd be great. Thank you, Martin.
Awesome, Alex. Thank you so much for your time today.
Cheers. Thank you.
Well, I really hope you enjoy these interviews, by the way, that we're just starting to do pretty much most Saturdays now. They do certainly take up more time than a normal news episode, what with arranging them and hooking up with various people and trying to find the most interesting people as well around the EV industry. Not just talking about cars all the time, but all of the stuff around it that people tell me they're really interested in. And I am, and I hope you are as well. Looking forward to another special soon and the news coming back tomorrow. In the meantime, if you've not caught up with any previous ones, a reminder, I put all of the podcasts online for free and the archive always will be free. So you can check out 200 previous episodes. They all go on the usual places, you know, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, TuneIn, Stitcher, and the blog at evnewsdaily.com. If you subscribe on any of those platforms, you get it first and free and automatically. Probably about another day away from finishing off some of the plans that we meant to be in place for episode 200. And a lot of them, which was yesterday, and a lot of them, these little changes were inspired by you and what people were saying that you wanted from the podcast, and also what you would help contribute to the podcast as well. And I kind of held off until now, but more details tomorrow. Thank you for bearing with me. If you want to come and chat over the weekend on the socials, search EV News Daily on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Have a really wonderful day, and I'll catch you tomorrow.